Sports Weekend All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the October 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's good to be back behind my trusty Voice of America microphone after a two-week break. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Prince Nesta, who hosted the show during my absence. Prince flew the flag high on two continents. The first week, Prince broadcasted from his beloved homeland of Kenya. And the second week, Prince kept the sporty beat from the University of Oregon, where he's a PhD student in media studies. We'll hear from Prince a little later in the show, but for now, let's go to London, where runners from Ethiopia and Kenya won the men's and women's titles Sunday in the city's annual marathon. Joining us now from the British capital with a post-race report is the energetic Andy Edwards. Sporty greetings, Andy.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The women's race should rightly take center stage in any reflection of a great day for the marathon as the epic event returned for its 41st edition to the streets of London. The weather was much the same as for the first edition back in March 1981. Overcast, not much wind, and a temperature of 13 degrees centigrade at the start. This was a women-only race, starting half an hour before the elite men. Three women runners had pacemaking duties and went off at a tempo which pointed to an attack on Mary Keitany's women-only world record for the marathon of 2:17:01. But the real racers, perhaps wisely, held back, though their pace was still threatening to go under 2 hours 18. Among them was the Olympic silver medalist and world record holder Bridget Kosgei of Kenya. But she began to struggle after halfway, reached in 68 minutes 51. Kosgei was in a leading group of five at 30 kilometres, which also comprised Jocelyn Chepkosgei, the Israeli Lorna Salpeter, and two Ethiopians, Dekitu Azimaror and Ashete Bekere. But 5 kilometres later, Bridget Kosgei began to drift off the pace, and shortly before 35 kilometres, Jocelyn Chepkosgei attacked, quickly building an 8-second lead over Azimaror. She was in the clear and heading for victory, and her time of 2 hours 17 minutes 43 was the seventh fastest of all time. Dekitu Azimaror was runner-up, also running a PB with 2:17:58, as did Ashete Bekere in third with 2:18:18. Bridget Kosgei, aiming for her third London title in succession, finished fourth, almost a minute behind the winner. Unlike Kosgei, and quite a few in both women's and men's races, Jocelyn Chepkosgei wasn't selected for the Olympics. She'd had a strong build-up, winning the Berlin Half Marathon 6 weeks before London, and having won the New York Marathon 2 years ago, could recognise the promising signs.
When I was training, I was feeling that the improvement of the training was much more than the previous race of Valencia. So I was thinking might be I'll improve my BB throughout. I see throughout the training, I was in a correct shape.
The men's race also had drama, as Ethiopia's Cisse Lema achieved the biggest win of his career. He went clear at 35 kilometres, so often the decisive point in the marathon, having lurked at the back of what became a lead pack of five men till then. The leading group had gone through halfway in 61 minutes 25, fast but not exceedingly so by modern standards, with perhaps Eliud Kipchoge's course record of 2:02:37 set 2 years ago as a target. In the latter stages, the Kenyan, Vincent Kipchumba, second behind Kipchoge here in 2019, led, but couldn't match Lema's attack. Cisse Lema won in 2 hours, 4 minutes and 1 second. Kipchumba, runner-up again, was 27 seconds behind, and Mozinet Geremew of Ethiopia finished third, 40 seconds behind the winner. Vincent Kipchumba was not downhearted with his performance, running a personal best of 2:04:28.
The secret also only is to be self-disciplined, also to focus in training,
And that's also the only thing to make it happen like the way I did.
Kipchumba also paid tribute to the world record holder, Eliud Kipchoge, and to being in the same training group as the great man, saying how much he gains from the experience.
Yeah, I'm very happy to represent my country, Kenya, when Eliud is not here. And also I wish I could have Eliud here. For me, it's also a privilege to me, because I'm still learning from him.
The London Marathon organisers had worked mightily to ensure a safe event for the elite and mass runners alike. The pandemic still casts a shadow, however. One of the elite Ethiopians, Kinde Atanor, tested positive for COVID on the eve of the race. He'd been in contact with the winner. Though Cisse Lema tested negative, it was thought best that he missed the victory ceremony and returned to the athlete's hotel without doing media interviews as a precaution. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Andy Edwards in London.
Thanks, Andy.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Olise, former captain and coach of the Super Eagles of Nigeria. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Sunday. Sunday Olise's beloved Super Eagles of Nigeria are preparing for 2022 World Cup qualifying matches against the Central African Republic. Nigeria's national men's football team will host the CAR Thursday, October 7th in Lagos. And then the Super Eagles will play the CAR Sunday, October 10th in Douala, Cameroon. Nigeria leads its World Cup qualifying group with the maximum 6 points after victories over Liberia and Cape Verde. The Liberians have 3 points, while Cape Verde and the CAR have 1 point each. Our Sunny Side of Sports listeners will remember 40 African teams are participating in this stage of World Cup qualifying. They've been drawn into 10 groups of four each. The winners of each group will then be drawn into 5 home and away ties. And the winners of each of the 5 ties will earn the much coveted trip to the World Cup in Qatar next year. Nigeria's German manager, Gernot Rohr, has named 23 players for the World Cup qualifiers against the CAR. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria, Fisayo Dairo.
Given the quality of talents available to Nigeria's head coach Gernot Rohr at the moment, you can be sure that every list he churns out is always going to be very good. Now he has listed 23 for the games against the CAR, and I believe that he has had to make crucial decisions to arrive at those 23. He has left out FC Porto left-back Zaidu Sanusi and Venezia full-back as well, Tyrone Ebuehi. These are two players that he loves. Sanusi has been in the Nigerian team. He has been virtually the first choice before our last couple of games against Cape Verde and Liberia. Sanusi has not had the best of form at the start of the season at a top club in Portugal, and now he has paid for it. Instead, Gernot Rohr has invited Calvin Bassey, who plays in Glasgow Rangers, alongside two other Super Eagles, Leon Balogu and Joe Aribo. So these are some of the crucial decisions that Rohr had to take. He also brought in Kevin Akpoguma from Hoffenheim in Germany to replace Ebuehi. It's a very good list. The list is full of talented players, never mind the fact that a couple of players are missing out due to injury. But like I mentioned earlier on, there are lots and lots of talented Nigerian footballers at the moment. So whoever manages to get into the roster will have merited it at least to a large extent and will have the capability of representing Nigeria well in any competition.
Two key midfielders, Wilfred Ndidi and Onyekaro Etebo, did not make the list because of injury. Do you think this will affect the fortunes of the Super Eagles in the matches against Central African Republic?
Make no mistakes about it, Wilfred Ndidi and Onyekaro Etebo are one of the best midfielders available, and they would definitely be missed by any team that they play for if they are unavailable, like we will be having against CAR. Wilfred Ndidi has been the one carrying the midfield of the team ever since the former captain, John Obi Mikel, left the team in 2019. And his performances week in, week out for English side Leicester City goes to show us that he's one of the best midfielders in Africa at the moment. So he will surely be missed. Etebo, who plays for Watford too, has been around for 5 years now or thereabouts, and he's also been a good outlet whenever he's called upon. So they'll be missed. But will missing them be sufficient enough for Nigeria to affect our results against CAR? I do not think so. Because, like I mentioned earlier, this team, this 23-man squad, is filled with top talent, regardless of where they are playing. And so, come on, we are playing against CAR, one of the bottom sides in the group. And if we cannot beat CAR with a team filled with professionals in Europe, then they don't have any business done in Nigeria's green, white, green. So I do think that, yes, we will miss their personality, we will miss their experience, we will miss their courage, but the absence of Ndidi and Etebo should not stop us from getting what we need against CR. And we will not even be able to host the second leg in Bangui. We are playing in a neutral ground in Cameroon after we first play in Lagos. So I think the guys invited should do the business.
If the Super Eagles get the 6 maximum points from the matches, what will be the implication for the team?
As a matter of fact, I'm not expecting anything less than a maximum 6 points from these 2 games. Because, come to think of it, CR have also lost one of their home games previously, and Nigeria 100% at home. We should beat this team, and once we beat them, then Nigeria will be looking at having a favorable draw, so to say, in the final round of qualifying before the World Cup. I have always thought that this is not the big deal for the Super Eagles. It's that final round where all the 10 group winners will now go into a pot and they are paired against one another. That is when you can face some of the powerhouses in African football. And that's when we will know for sure that this will be the decider for us to get to the World Cup in Qatar. For now, I expect the 6 points against CAR. I expect us to wrap up the group before the Africa Cup of Nations in January. And then after AFCON, we can focus on dealing with whoever we are paired against in the final round of qualifiers.
That's Fasayo Dairo, the chief football writer at ACLSports.com in Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Hello, listeners. By the name is Amiko Apotfazila, Crested Cranes forward and Lady Dawes FC Club forward. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African women's football, a Ugandan goalkeeper is earning accolades, as we hear now in this encore feature presentation from Magume Davis Rakawinj in Kampala.
Hold on, Daisy. Yeah. Daisy, let's go, let's go. Okay, high ball, eh? I give you the high ball, then you come and cut the ball, eh? Eyes on the ball, focus on the ball, okay? Let's go up.
Back.
Hold on, back, Daisy. Higher,
Daisy Nakazilo, Uganda women football team, the Crested Cranes goalkeeper, trains under watchful eyes with the Crested Cranes goalkeeping coach, James Magara, at FIFA Technical Stadium, Njeru, Eastern Uganda, about 100 kilometers from the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Daisy guided the Lady Doves, Uganda women's champions, to a third place finish in the Women's Champions League zone qualifiers in Nairobi, Kenya.
First of all, I want to thank God who made me to reach the success that I've got from the tournament where I were in Kenya, and the success I've got from the home league that I've won the Golden Gloves twice in 1 year. Yeah, and secondly, I want to thank my fellow players because I couldn't be one to make it, but we as a team worked as a team, and everyone was determined to make sure that at least we win every game.
The Red Devils captain conceded just 2 goals in the tournament, including 1 in the 2 win against Tanzania's Simba Women Football Club for a third place finish. The tournament was won by home side Kenya's Vihiga Queens and became the first East African team to qualify for the inaugural CAF Women Champions League. The 2021 CAF Women Champions League is the first edition of the Africa Women's Club Football Championship organized by the Confederation of African Football, or CAF, and will take place in Egypt. Teammate Fazila Ikwaput, whom we previously featured on the Sunnyside Sports, was among the top scorers in the tournament with a respectable 5 goals to her name. Daisy had also, earlier on, won the Golden Gloves in the domestic league, having conceded only 3 goals in the entire tournament. Crested Cranes goalkeeping coach James Magala tells the Sunnyside Sports that Daisy so much deserved the accolades.
She did well. She did everything correct. Yeah, she was perfect in terms of goalkeeping, goal understanding. She's very good in game reading, the way she handles the ball, the way she handles the crosses, the timing is very good. And now the way she, the distribution of the ball in terms of when she's attacking, she's okay. One against one, she's okay. So in every area, she's doing well, yeah.
As a little girl, little did she know she'd play soccer, but rather enjoyed other games, mainly netball, which has actually helped her football career somehow.
At first, I never knew that I would be a goalkeeper first, but maybe my coach found a talent in me. And I was in senior one, that's where I started in goalkeeping. I grew up practicing, training harder, and he always advises me to focus and be determined. For me, I never knew that even girls play football. First of all, I was a netballer. And by the time I went to play, it was inter-houses games. Then coach showed me go to goal. As I knew the area balls, I know. Yeah, they were much easier to me than the ground balls. So he decided to put me in goal. That's where I started playing as a goalkeeper.
The 24-year-old says she's inspired by former African Football of the Year, Uganda ex-international goalkeeper Dennis Onyango. She says she'll actually work even much harder so she becomes Uganda's first-choice goalkeeper. Daisy says she believes her generation will put Uganda football on the higher levels.
I'm proud that I'm summoned on the Crested Cranes Uganda national team, and I'm going to work hard and harder to see that even my team reach somewhere. Yeah, for us, we're having a talent, and everyone here, everyone in football, mainly young girls and us who are developing, everyone is determined. That is, they try to give in what they can to achieve their best. And I think in coming years, or not more than 2 years, Uganda also will reach there on the global stage.
Daisy says although female footballers are sometimes stigmatized in society for playing a game dominated by males, she's determined to make it to the very top. She also has some advice for other young girls aspiring to play football.
I pray to play professional football. Yeah, I pray to play professional football first. And I can't be there without performing. So I have first perform well. My last message to the young girls, I'm requesting them to first be disciplined, and secondly, to work hard. And lastly, mainly, to believe in themselves that they can make it. However conditions, whatever things they are going through, they can believe that they can make it. Yeah.
For the Sunnyside of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Let's go. One, better. Okay. Two, more than. Yeah. Three. Yeah, that's better. Good. Fantastic.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta says an Egyptian football star continues to shine brightly for the Reds of Liverpool. And Prince joins us now. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sunny. And by the way, welcome back after your 2-week break. Hopefully you had a fantastic holiday. I must admit that I really had a good time filling in for you while you were away. And the first week I was really blessed because I did the show from my own native country, Kenya, and so I was broadcasting live from Nairobi, Kenya. And then I flew to Eugene, Oregon, where I did the show last week. Great stuff, and receive lots of greetings from Nairobi, Kenya. And also, when I left the United States, I actually talked to a couple of folks in the streets of Ghana, and they told me to pass my regards to you, the Voice of America broadcast family, and of course, Voice of America listeners. It was really great, and I look forward to, you know, hosting the show someday from another part of the African continent. Moving on to the English Premier League, Egyptian talisman Mo Salah scored a goal and also registered an assist to help Liverpool secure a hard-fought 2-1 draw against champions Manchester City at Anfield. It was their 103rd goal for the 29-year-old in the Premier League, having become the 30th player in history to have reached their 100-goal milestone in the competition after scoring against Leeds United on the 12th of September. Senegalese speedster Sadio Mane had given Liverpool the lead before English footballer Phil Foden equalized for the Citizens. Salah then dribbled home to score a stunner before Belgium playmaker Kevin De Bruyne slotted home to grab a point for City. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp termed Salah's goal as world-class.
Only the best players in the world score goals like this. That was the first touch, the first challenge he wins, then going there and putting on the right foot and finishing the situation off like he did. Absolutely exceptional, and you are right. Because this club never forgets anything, people will talk about this goal for a long, long time. And in 56 years, still, when they remember this game. So, was a really good one.
Los Angeles Lakers star LeBron James, who has been a stakeholder at the Reds since 2011, also took to Twitter to show his praise for the forward by agreeing with a Liverpool tweet posted about the 2017 and 2018 African Player of the Year that read, and I quote, "Mo Salah is just absolutely unbelievable at football," end of quote. Goals from English footballer of Sierra Leonean descent Trevoh Chalobah, Timo Werner and Ben Chilwell ensured Chelsea sank 10-man Southampton 3-1 at Stamford Bridge. The Blues returned to winning ways after suffering back-to-back losses against Manchester City and Juventus. Chelsea boss Thomas Tuchel praised the team for their hard-fought victory.
"But I liked the game. It was an entertaining game from both sides, very intensive game. So we're also here to entertain our supporters. And we did this. I liked the energy and I liked the attitude. I had the feeling that we have our expectations right, what to expect, how to respond. And then we got the attitude right. And in the end, we got finally the result right, which is always the challenge and the target and always the most difficult. So, was a late one, but a deserved one for me."
Brighton and Arsenal played out a 0-0 draw at the Emirates Stadium, while Denmark midfielder Pierre-Emile Højbjerg's strike and an own goal by Matt Target proved to be the difference, as Tottenham Hotspur ended their three-game losing streak in the Premier League by beating Aston Villa 2-1 at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs' win eases the scrutiny on their under-fire manager Nuno Espirito Santo, who shared his thoughts after the match.
"The reaction was really, really good. Really, really good. Definitely a better reaction. Something that we improved from the previous games. Not that moment, but after that, we continued and creating chances. I honestly believe there were more goals for us today. But the production, the way we produce, the way we create, much better, much better."
Antoine Martial's first half strike gave Manchester United the lead before Andrews, Townsend's equalizer and Everton a 1-1 draw at Old Trafford. Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo's entrance late on in the game did not bear fruit, especially after scoring a dramatic 95th-minute goal against Villarreal in United's 2-1 Champions League victory last week. Pressure continues to build around United's boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who has only managed to win two of his last six games in all competitions.
"So we didn't do enough to win it, but I felt we started well, scored a very good goal first half, and we should have had that cutting edge and we should have done better, of course, because it's a disappointing goal to concede. It's happened too many times that we're in on the attack, or this time it's a corner, and we're still well enough organised behind it. We just don't deal with the situation well enough.
That was Manchester United's boss Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's post-match thoughts after his team's poor showing in their draw against Everton. Paris Saint-Germain suffered a shock 2-0 defeat against Rennes despite six-time Ballon d'Or winner Lionel Messi, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe and Brazilian superstar Neymar all featuring in the match. The result exposed weaknesses and raised questions regarding the balance within the team, even though the Parisians still lead the French league standings after dropping their first points of the season. Canadian sensation Jonathan David scored twice as Lille cruised to a 2-0 victory against Marseille, while Tunisian footballer Wahbi Khazri slotted in a stoppage time penalty to earn Saint-Etienne a 1-1 draw against Tenman Lyon. Monaco earned a 3-0 win against Bordeaux thanks to goals from French footballer of Cameroonian descent Aurélien Tchouaméni, Alexandra Golovin and French footballer of Tunisian descent Wissam Ben Yedder's penalty. French footballer of Algerian descent Karim Benzema also scored, but it wasn't enough to prevent Real Madrid from suffering a 2-1 defeat in the hands of Espanyol. Champions Atletico Madrid also cruised to a 2-0 win over Barcelona, thanks to Luis Suarez's goal against his former club to heap more misery on Barca's coach Ronald Koeman. The Uruguayan striker has now officially scored against every La Liga team he has faced. And in Germany, Rafael Guerrero and Julian Brandt all recorded their names on the score sheet to help Borussia Dortmund return to winning ways by beating Augsburg 2-1, while Bayern Munich suffered their first defeat of the season after going down 2-1 against Eintracht Frankfurt. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nestor.
Thanks, Prince, and thanks also for hosting the show the past couple of weeks.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
In American-style football, seven-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has made a victorious return to Foxborough, Massachusetts, where he won six of his Super Bowl titles with the New England Patriots. The AP's Gethin Coolbaugh reports from Foxborough.
Tom Brady did what he does best in his return to New England, leading his team to victory in the Buccaneers' 1917 thriller against the Patriots.
It was just some emotional moments thinking about coming up here and playing. And again, I know why it's tough to come in here and win a game.
Brady passed for 269 yards in his homecoming and broke Drew Brees' NFL career passing yardage record on a 28-yard first-quarter strike to Mike Evans.
I just think it's amazing. Statistic and that so many people can share in it with me.
Mac Jones threw for 275 yards, two TDs, and a pick for the 1-3 Patriots.
I think we moved in the right direction, and you know, we made plays and played hard the whole game, and I turned the ball over. That's one of the problems, and you know, turnovers can kill you.
Nick Folk missed a go-ahead 56-yard field goal try with a minute to play. Gethin Coolbaugh, Foxborough, Massachusetts.
Thanks, Gethin. In Southern California, the Arizona Cardinals won their fourth consecutive game to remain unbeaten. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
It was a signature win for Kyler Murray and the Cardinals, 37-20 over the Rams.
They're a great team. Got a lot of great players, great coach. They've been there, done it. No, it was good. It was a good game. Good game. You know, we executed well. We fought, you know, from the start to the end.
Murray threw touchdown passes to A.J. Green and Max Williams, and James Conner added two rushing scores. L.A. quarterback Matthew Stafford had two touchdown passes and one pick against an Arizona defense that held the Rams to only 10 points over the last three quarters. Mark Myers, Inglewood, California.
That wraps up the October 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.